Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola and buenos dias. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us. Kevin Hurst sends me a text. We have a list of topics we need to touch on today. I sent it in your email.
Which means you'll look at it tomorrow morning. If I'm lucky.
You just never know if you're going to get snake eyes or not in the day. So let's look at this intriguing email and see exactly what he's forcing me to talk about today.
No. None of this is forced on you. It's just some ideas the show goes on.
Let's see.
First off, did you receive it in your email? That's the real question.
Actually, you want to know where it is?
Let me guess. It's in the junk file.
It's in my junk mail.
Yeah, I would have guessed. You might want to actually accept me as somebody you want to. Maybe you don't. I don't know.
NFL schedule. Best matchup.
Yeah. What's the best matchup in the first week anyway?
I'll tell you right now. Well, the Steelers and the Broncos. That's why it's on NBC. Also, I'll tell you right now, the three Thanksgiving Day games are all really good. Dallas is taking on Washington, Detroit against Houston, and then NBC has the night game. What the heck is their game? But I remember thinking, wow, great matchups. New England and the Jets. Let's see. Colts, Lion Luck, Skins, and RG3. Where does Tannehill go now? Okay, yeah, fine. Like we're supposed to guess.
Yes.
Miami. All right, so that one's done. All right, so the first two are done.
Whoa, hold on.
Pat
There's a
Summit
lot more
steps,
in the first
Pat Summit steps down. No, it's we're done. Pat Summit steps down. I'll talk about that extensively in just a few moments. Because part of it's personal to me.
Sure.
Raffi Torre's suspension. NHL ratings go up because of fighting. Is that good for the NHL? Yes and no. Okay, that one's done. And Kentucky, 5 going to the NBA. Does this hurt college basketball with all these players moving up so quickly? No, it doesn't. So that one's done.
I'm glad we're going in depth into this stuff.
College transfer rule. Should coaches be able to limit where someone goes? That's because of Bo Ryan. And there should be some limitations. All right.
No, all right, done. Thanks for listening to the show.
Oh, no, now let's talk about what I want to talk about.
Oh, I see how it works. I gotcha.
Let's get into these one by one here. We can have a little fun, at least in the beginning here, and talk about what we have. I want to talk about the Pat Summit thing first, because I think that'll be the story that's going to be the lead everywhere, because you can't win 1,098 games in your career and lose just 207 and win 7 national championships, and well, she may have won 8 national championships. Been to the Final Four 18 times. And at the age of 59, be done. But this is very personal to me, and it's on this level. My father... She's 59. My father, at the age of 59, we noticed he had the onset of it. And it's hard. And from a personal point of view, it's hard to see them die twice. You see them die before your eyes, and then eventually they do pass away themselves. That's what makes it very, very hard. Pat Summit... I'm watching the NCAA tournament, and of course I knew back in August that she had announced that she had the onset of dementia and Alzheimer's. Now, had I kept track of it throughout the course of the season and what Tennessee had been doing? No. But now they're in the NCAA tournament. They're playing Baylor in the round of 16. So I thought, you know, I'll tune in for a few minutes. And I only tuned in not to see the game, but I pretty much knew how the game was going to go. But to see her and to see how active she was. And I sat there in a state of shock because I looked at her and she kept looking down at the floor and they kept coming over and telling her what was going on. And she kept looking down at the floor and then she'd look up. She never stood up. And I thought to myself, I have seen that look before. And it broke my heart because I've seen that look. And you could just, and I did the show the next day here. And I said, she needs to step aside. And the reason I felt she needed to step aside is I just don't think she needs to have the rest of the world look at her and wonder what she is or is not thinking. That we need to remember everything that she's done. And it's more than just the 8 national championships, the 18 Final Fours, the 16 SEC regular season championships, the 16 SEC tournament championships. It's much more than that. She had a tremendous impact on Tennessee and will continue. She still is going to work at Tennessee. She'll be coach emeritus, which is, that's fine. But you're talking about every Lady Vol player who completed their eligibility at Tennessee graduated. You're talking about 74 former players, assistants, graduate assistants, team managers, and directors of basketball operations that are currently among the coaching ranks at every level of basketball. Again, 74 of them, 74 former players, assistants, graduate assistants, team managers, and directors of basketball operations that are currently in the coaching ranks at every level of basketball from her coaching tree. Now, she also coached an Olympic championship team in 1984 in Los Angeles. Holly Warlick's going to take over. She will work for the athletic director. She'll also work to raise awareness about dementia and Alzheimer's. And whatever Tennessee needs her to do, including the basketball program. But after watching that game with Baylor, I became incredibly alarmed by what I saw. I did talk the next day that I thought it was her time to not continue. And I had my reasons because I've seen it before. I saw the look in her face, and I said to myself, I have seen that look before. I've lived it. So, in the end, because as public as this has been to this point, and as public as she wants to be to raise awareness and money for research, eventually this is going to become a very private fight. And especially for her son, Tyler. It'll become a very private fight. And everybody will remember her for what she's done. They'll remember her fire and her passion on the sidelines, fire as a recruiter. Everybody will remember that. Her son, her close friends, and her family members are going to see a different side of the story as time goes along. Just like they have with Dean Smith, and just like President Reagan's family saw. It's hard. Very, very hard. And it's going to be a very tough private fight as time goes along. And the hard part will be for her son, for example, when he walks in and that first time that she doesn't remember him, it's going to be tough for him to go through. You eventually adjust to it. And after you're done adjusting to it, you'll have a moment where maybe for a moment they remember you. You cherish that moment and then realize the next time that was just a moment. So it's going to be a long, hard fight, but she steps down after a great, great career at Tennessee. She'll be the coach emeritus there. Holly Warlick will take over Tennessee as the head coach. And for Pat Summitt, an incredible legacy and what she meant to her sport of women's basketball. She was the co-sports person of the year by Sports Illustrated, along with Mike Krzyzewski this past year, and justifiably so. All right, we'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on WKOK after this. Great to have you with us. I know Kevin has a question about the blue-white game.
Well, actually, we had a question via Facebook from the Steve Jones Show Facebook page. And the question from, I got to find it again. This is what happens when you hit the scroll button. Oh, yeah, Michael says, is the game on TV?
Game will be on TV on a tape delay basis. It'll be on at 8 o'clock that night. It'll be Kevin Kugler and Kajana Carter. I've been asked to do the game, and I kind of turned down because I'm doing radio. So Kajana was at practice on Monday, giving me the business, along with Jesse Palmer, by the way. He was at practice. He was wearing this Penn State T-shirt. And I said, do people in Florida know you have that? He says, I'm only wearing it to the border, then I'm taking it off. I said, well, don't take it off here. I said, then, you know, at least let the rest of us still have a chance in life.
<You know? laughs> Kajana's one of your many graduates from your class.
No, Kajana's not.
I thought he was.
No, Michael Robinson.
Robinson was the one. Oh, okay.
And Clark. I haven't started teaching until 2003 or 4.
Yeah, I was thinking of Michael Robinson then.
Yeah, so, I mean, he'll be really good on the air. So that's what we have there. And if anyone wants to call up Pat Summitt, we certainly will be more than happy to talk about that and do that. And the game, though, will be streamed on btntogo.com. So you'll actually be able to see the live stream. All right. Next up on here, college transfer rules. Should schools be able to limit where someone goes? This is the Bo Ryan deal. And there's a player at Wisconsin that redshirted this year. Good player. Very talented player out of Iowa. Who goes to Wisconsin and shockingly realizes that Wisconsin does not play running basketball. You want to look at the guy and say, excuse me, do you watch TV? I mean, Jared Uthoff, okay, Jared Uthoff, who's a 6'8 freshman, wants to transfer. And I've seen him, it's just in warm-up lines. I mean, he's a good-looking player, can shoot the ball pretty well. Right? And Bo Ryan had told him straight out that I'll let you transfer, but you can't transfer to another Big Ten school. You can't transfer to an ACC school. You can't transfer to Marquette. You can't transfer to Iowa State. Now, how Iowa State got into this mix, I have no idea, because Iowa State has become the home of people transferring. Royce White from Minnesota, Chad Allen from Michigan State, Chris Babb from Penn State. All three starters for Fred Hoiberg. Now, Marquette, let's face it, Marquette's an in-state school in Milwaukee. Okay. Other Big Ten schools? Well, it's within the conference. Now, the ACC one probably has everyone a bit perplexed, but there is that Big Ten ACC challenge. He limited. So that knocks out what? Let's see. That knocks out 23, 24, 25 schools. Okay. And of course, he's not going to go to Wisconsin. It's 26. So you're talking about a guy that can transfer to 318 other schools. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the only limit he should have is not being able to transfer within the Big Ten. Anywhere else, I think it's fine. But I think a coach should have the ability to look at somebody and say, look, I'll let you transfer, but I'm not going to play against you twice a year for the next 4 years and face you eight, and including the tournament, maybe 9, 10 times. I think telling them they can't transfer within the conference, good thing. I think anywhere else, I think you're out of bounds. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. So, I mean, that's how I look at that one. I think that you should have the ability to transfer anywhere except within a conference to another conference school. I think that's fair on both sides. Also, people have said, well, they shouldn't have to, especially if the coach leaves, they shouldn't have to sit out. Yes, they should. They should have to sit out. Remember Ryan Mallett at Michigan? Everybody kept going on about Ryan Mallett at Michigan. Rich Rodriguez comes in. Mallett doesn't fit how they want to play at quarterback, understandably so. So he wants to transfer, but because he's leaving, because the style of play isn't going to fit him, he should be able to be eligible right away. That's ridiculous. The rule was not put in so that Ryan Mallett can change one school to the other because they don't play his style of play. The rule was put in so that Rich Rodriguez can't take the Michigan job and bring 25 West Virginia players with him who can play right away. That's why the rule exists. And that's why the rule should stay. The rule needs to continue to be that you have to sit out of here. That's why the Daniel Bryan transfer and the Russell Wilson transfer, I don't like. I give them all the credit in the world for graduating. That's part of the mission of the university, graduating individuals. As football players, to their credit, they each did what they were asked to do. They received the required credits and got their degree. Now, Wilson went on and played professional baseball. He tried to play at Asheville. He hit 169. If he hit 369, this wouldn't be an issue. But he was the fourth-round pick of the Colorado Rockies as a shortstop. Then he transfers to Wisconsin, has a great year, throws 33 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions, and for better than 3,000 yards. Danny O'Brien, we know, is the ACC Freshman of the Year. He redshirted his first year in 09. In 10, he was the ACC Freshman of the Year, then had a really bumpy ride in 2011 at Maryland, and then graduates. He'll graduate within the next, 2-3 weeks. And then on June 1st, he'll be in Madison. He'll have actually 2 years of eligibility remaining. I still say that despite graduation, you still need to sit out a year. Now, if that means it ends up being your sixth year, I think that can be allowed. But you still need to sit out a year because you are still transferring schools. And just because you have your degree, and even if you change sports, Greg Paulus was the point guard at Duke. Then he played his fifth year at Syracuse as their quarterback. I'm sorry, you still have to sit out a year. I do not. And if Danny O'Brien had picked Penn State, I would still be saying the same thing. Would I be happy that he'd be eligible right away? Of course. But should the rule be changed where you sit out a year? I totally agree with that. If he had chosen Penn State, I'd be saying the same thing right now. It is a rule I do not agree with. There's a reason certain things are put in place. As I said, Ryan Mallett, everybody kept going on and on about Ryan Mallett. He should be eligible right away. No, he shouldn't. The rule was put in so that when Brady Hoke, for example, takes over as the head coach of Michigan, he doesn't bring 30 San Diego State players with him. Where now San Diego State gets gutted because of one move. I don't think that's right. I don't like it. And again, the same thing with graduates. I think all credit for getting your degree. I think that should earn you another year if you transfer. Where you redshirted, You played 3 years. You graduated. I think if you graduate and want to go to another school, you should sit out a year and then allow them to play that sixth year. That's if they graduated. But I still say you have to sit out a year. Sarah Bartlett went on vacation a few years ago and sat out. We didn't like that. We love the fact that she's back. We'll hear from her in a few moments with WKOK News.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, located on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin sent some show topics today. It ended up in my junk mail. I don't understand.
You have to accept me as a sender, which I don't think you've done so far.
I have to accept you as a sender?
Well, either that or the fact that I email you every day is probably why it's going to junk mail.
I put a block on it.
Well, that could be it, too. If you actually send it to junk mail, then it will do that as well. By the way, Jeff Nelson just sent out a tweet saying that the parking tailgating rules and prohibited items for Beaver Stadium are the same for the Blue-White game as a regular season game. Little thing of note there for people going out to the
Blue-White. Of course. Of course. All right. So. Let's see. Back to the Kevin Hurst show topics.
Wait, did you didn't give the forecast for the Blue-White game yet. Well, I'll let you research that during one of the breaks. Go ahead.
Don't have to. I can tell you what it is
right
now.
Okay, good. Go ahead, because you haven't done your forecast update.
Sun peeking through during the game with a high of 69. How about that one? Sun peeking through during the game with a high of 69. You're in shock.
I'm just happy. I'm just happy. I mean, I don't want to get wet. Yeah.
And Friday's going to be beautiful. They'll have fireworks Friday night and the whole thing. Now, back to the Kevin topics here. Should they switch to Firestone tires instead of Goodyear's?
It's not a topic.
For IndyCar open wheel racing.
Now, wait a minute. Aren't they on Firestones already?
They might be.
All right. I'm going to educate you in this sport if it kills me.
No, I'm seriously. I just spoke for the masses. let's see. Back to Kentucky. 5 go to the NBA. Does this hurt college basketball with all these players moving up so quickly? Yes and no. The problem is the Players Association. It is not college basketball, and it is not the NBA owners or the commissioner. And I am baffled completely by the Players Association on this one. I thought the goal of the Players Association was to protect their rank and file. Wouldn't you want to keep somebody in college a little longer? I mean, wouldn't you like to see Anthony Davis stay in college another year before he gets in there and takes somebody's job that is in your rank and file?
They don't care as long as they're paying dues.
I understand, but that's what I'd like to see. 20 years of age. And 2 years of college. I think getting in there, and I think by being in 2 years, actually benefits the players. And here's the reason why. So often we saw over the years players jumping from high school to the NBA. On rare occasions, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant, where they made the transition successfully. There's also a bunch of guys that didn't make the transition and it was not successful. By playing 2 years in college, it gives each of them a better read against competition of whether they should go or not. Now, 1 year of college does help in that regard, but 2 years really helps in that regard. And I think it gives them then the opportunity to sit there and say, okay, this isn't panning out the way I thought it would. I mean, I'm a good player, but I'm not the great player I thought I would be. And I better get my degree. Distinct possibility. So I think by being in 2 years instead of one, 20 years of age, look, it's another year of maturity versus 19, is a big plus in all of this. College basketball knows that. David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, knows that. The NBA owners know that. The ones that won't sign off on it, the NBA Players Association. Kevin's next talking point, open wheel racing.
Well, no, wait a minute. Go back to that. Why?
No, I'm done.
Why is it not a bad thing for college basketball?
I'm done. No, we're done.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Why is it not a bad thing for college basketball to have all these guys that are starting to make a name for themselves, getting people interested in college basketball, and all of a sudden, they're gone?
What is the mindset of fans? Right. Let's talk about the mindset of fans. What gets them excited right away on the college ranks? Recruiting. One of the toughest things you ever have to do when you're around a team every day is to do a pregame talk show in which you have to convince a caller that the reason that the senior's playing and not the freshman that you just thought for sure was going to be the guy is because the senior's a better player. And they think you're nuts. Oh, you're just that's just the company line. I see it every day in practice. So many people are interested in the new blood that comes in because they're new. And you know how I feel about the star system. I just think that is just an absurdity beyond words. He's a five-star player. Really good. Yeah, that's great. You know how many stars Deion Butler was?
No.
One. The walk-on. Guess where he cashes checks?
Yep.
The three-letter league.
Yep.
Okay. One-star recruit. Paul Posluszny was allegedly a three. He's cashing checks. Jacksonville Jaguars. They're still part of the league, right?
For now.
He cashes checks. Troy Drayton was a walk-on at Penn State and ended up being the second-round pick of the Miami Dolphins. And the star thing, I think, you know, the star thing puts too much on players. It's too much. Supposed to have, you know, are we supposed to put pressure on these guys all the time? I mean, what impresses me when I see a recruit is, yeah, he picked Penn State over Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State. That impresses me. But if you notice, I mean, number one, I don't talk about recruits because it's an NCAA violation. But even when they're freshmen here, I don't like talking about them. Unless they've started to accomplish something. I don't talk about them until I've actually seen them in person. I can tell you right now, there's one guy that's being brought in here that's being touted as being the 6'5 kid. He said, he's 6'3 and a half. This stuff's all, I mean, I met the kid. I'm like, I'm a shade under 6 feet tall. Sorry, there's not a 5-inch difference between the two of us. And the number of people that they, hey, he runs a 4.3, and all of a sudden it's like the watch says 4.46. You're like, okay. Now, the difference between 4.3 and 4.46 is about 14 inches. Okay? It's not as great as the world makes it out to be, but still. And I don't believe in the star system at all. Now, when it comes to, for example, what's happening in Kentucky, hey, he's fine with it. John Calipari is just fine with it. If John's happy, I'm happy.
It doesn't really cost the school anything, though, because they're going to, those scholarships that they would have tied up wouldn't be tied up anymore. So they could offer it to somebody else, right?
And they have, believe me.
And it's already in the works.
And they have. It's already in the works. But does it hurt college basketball? I'd like to see it be 2 years, 20 years of age. Because remember, the rule was, oh, no, anybody can go to the NBA. Now that's changed to 1 year and 19 years of age. I prefer 2 and 20 then. And again, to me, by making it 2 years and 20 years of age, I think is actually a benefit. It's not just a benefit to the schools. It really, to me, is a benefit to the student athlete. It really gives them a far more accurate read on whether they're NBA material or not. Because they're going out against, especially in a power conference, one of the six BCS conferences, you're playing high-level competition every night for a two-and-a-half-month span. So it gives them a better read as to what they actually should be doing, staying or going. I also think that by making it 2 years and 20 years of age, it allows them to get themselves assimilated into the college lifestyle and atmosphere. They know in that first year they're not going anywhere. And they may find out along the way something they like. That could be a great career if basketball doesn't pan out. That's why I think they ought to move it up one. But the Players Association is the issue. You also get yourself involved in campus life. Campus life is great. Getting involved with Greek organizations, getting involved in fundraisers, and the various things that happen. You look at what's happening here at Penn State this weekend with the Blue-White game. The focus, of course, for us is on the game itself, but there's so many other things going on that the students get involved in. Students, you look at Penn State, you know, as an athlete, if you stay 2 years into 20 years of age, the door is open for you to participate, to be a part of something like THON, to be a part of the Coaches versus Cancer student group, to be a part of the 50-yard line run into Beaver Stadium on Sunday, which the Paterno family would be a part of, with the finish line being at the 50-yard line at Beaver Stadium. You get a chance to be involved in that, in canning efforts for various charities. There's so many benefits to being a part of that. And again, for the NBA, I still don't understand. Why didn't you protect your rank and file another year? 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Your comments on these topics and more as we continue on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Jeez. I thought you were going to come back with Animal House.
Well, I'd thought about it, and then we had some news come out, breaking news out of the newsroom, that Dick Clark has passed at the age of 82. He died this morning following a massive heart attack, survived by his wife and three children. So we'll have more on that coming up at the top of the hour with CBS News.
Well, you know, I mean, all those years with American Bandstand and, of course, in Philadelphia where we started the show, the important Pennsylvania icon, Dick Clark, and New Year's Rockin' Eve, and all the shows he produced over time, everything from American Bandstand to, I think, what, the $20,000 pyramid was his thing.
Yeah, yeah, he was host of it for many years as well, and then had a bunch of award show that that Dick Clark Productions put on, had his own right. radio network. USA Radio Network was actually owned by Dick Clark.
And then he had the stroke, and he tried so hard to come back from that, and it was difficult. So, 82 years of age, Dick Clark.
I believe that was 04 when he had the stroke.
Right. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 is our number. So far, we've talked about the college transfer rule, Kentucky getting 5 to the NBA, and Pat Summitt stepping down as the head basketball coach at Tennessee. Now, Rafi Torres last night left his skates and just absolutely hammered Marin Hossa of the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, it was as dirty a play as you're going to see. He's suspended. But there's been more fighting in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Flyers and the Penguins, for example. And the ratings are up. Kevin, is this the equivalent of open wheel racing with accidents?
Well, my question is, what is the rule on fighting? I mean, every other sport, every other major professional sport, there's automatically a penalty and everybody gets separated immediately. Only in the NHL, and I can't think of any other sport where they actually have rules to how long the fight should go, how many people should be involved, and when the referee steps in.
Mm-hmm.
I wondered, are those rules actually literally in the NHL rule?
No.
Rules? Well, there is a fighting rule.
Well, the fighting rule is you get 5 minutes for fighting.
Right. Well, that's what you would think, yeah.
That's the penalty.
And then there's the aggressor rule, which was supposed to be what they used to call it an instigator. That was a 2 minute.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. I looked it up. I looked it up on NHL's website for the rules. And the rule said a fight shall be deemed to have occurred when at least one player or goalkeeper punches or attempts to punch an opponent repeatedly, or when the two players wrestle in such a manner as to make it difficult for the linesman to intervene and separate the combatants. That's the definition of fighting.
Right.
And then the referees are provided a very wide latitude in the penalties which they may impose. My question is, some of these referees will let them go for a while. Is that an unwritten NHL rule to make people more interested maybe in watching it, in watching hockey?
Well, if they think it'll get the aggression out of the guys, I'm sure that's part of it. I don't think they conscientiously say, you know what, hey, a few more punches, we're going to be up to like a 7.2 on the Nielsens.
Well, here's what it says about aggressor. The aggressor in an altercation shall be the player who continues to throw punches in an attempt to inflict punishment on his opponent who is in a defenseless position or unwilling combatant. And a player must be deemed the aggressor when he has clearly won the fight, but he continues to throw and land punches. That's the line that I thought was the funniest in the whole thing. A player must be deemed the aggressor when he has clearly won the fight, but then continues to throw punches and land them.
That's amazing. Now, look, do I like fighting in hockey? No. Do I love skating and checking? I mean, good, hard, physical checking in hockey? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I like dirty play? No. But I think if somebody's getting away with dirty play, maybe they ought to be decked. I mean, after a while, it gets a little frustrating if they're playing dirty. But I would rather see the skating and the hard checking. That's what I've always preferred that. By getting the two-line pass allowed, it's made it a much better game. It's a more exciting, faster game.
But you know, just like in an auto race, there are fans that are there to watch the accident
absolutely.
Or watch the fight.
Oh, of course they're there for the fight. I've told you the story about Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr early in his career. Finally, somebody from the Rangers challenged him. Right? Let's see. You know, he's flying all over the ice. His hair is flying everywhere. We'll find out how tough he is. And Orr beat the daylights out of him. I mean, got picked on. I remember it was right at the blue line. Got picked on. And Orr dropped the gloves. And Orr beat the daylights out of him. That is the last fight Bobby Orr ever had. After that, they're like, I don't think we'll challenge you. Also, here's, I want to point out the article. I think it was the Chicago Sun-Times, Kevin.
Okay.
Great article. Is Peyton Manning the Broncos' Bobby Orr? I'm making you think here.
I know, and that hurts. I don't know. Why do they think that that's the case?
Because Bobby Orr, who was brilliant all those years with the Bruins, well, Alan Eagleson was his agent. And over time, there was a couple of issues. Eventually, Eagleson and money and so forth. But Orr leads the Bruins to two Stanley Cups, a couple of Conn Smythes. Wins the Norris Trophy every year. Gets him back to the final another year, so on and so forth. Just he's the best hockey player I've ever seen. I mean, I know you may love Gretzky, you may love Lemieux, but I saw Orr play in his prime. September 75, the Bruins and Eagleson had reached a deal with Orr for 10 years. But then Orr's knee required surgery, so the Bruins reduced the offer. So Eagleson pulled out. And eventually, Orr signs with the Chicago Blackhawks. Huge contract with the Blackhawks. And so he does so in 1976. Well, he only played a grand total in his career because his knees were shot. He was the MVP of the Canada Cup. In his Chicago Blackhawks career, he played a total of 26 games. In three seasons. So the question was, is Peyton Manning for four neck surgeries the Denver Broncos' Bobby Orr? A topic not on the Kevin Hurt list today.